our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight is Monday, Thursday, and we continue our Lenten sermon series that revolves around the hymn we just sang, the hymn entitled, Lamb of God, Pure and Holy. Now this evening's sermon will focus on the following line from the hymn, Have mercy on us, O Jesus. And so we consider the Lamb of God who has mercy on us. You know, in the liturgy that we use for some of the sermons and services in this congregation, in that liturgy we speak or we sing the following words, Lord, have mercy on us. Now in that cry for mercy, we acknowledge that we are waiting for the one who is capable of addressing our deepest need, our need to be forgiven of our many sins, our need to know for sure that God loves us, our need to know that we have hope of life in the face of death. Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. My friends, if you are longing for mercy, then you have come to the right place tonight. This evening we commemorate the night when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, the miraculous meal of mercy in which He nourishes us with His body given for us and with His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Tonight is the beginning of our 3-day journey with Jesus from His arrest in the garden to Pilate's judgment hall to Mount Calvary through His cross and death and ultimately to His glorious resurrection. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. You know, it sounds like 4 days, but by biblical reckoning, it's really only 3. You see, the Jews began each day at the setting of the sun, and so anything that happened after sundown was part of the next day. So by that calculation, then, it is a 3-day journey that we commence this Monday, Thursday evening. And it all started with the meal of mercy. You know, we have heard the following words so often we can almost recite them in our sleep. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And not too long, we will once again approach this altar, here to bend the knee and receive with our mouths this meal of mercy. As Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. However, this meal of mercy is a memorial far different than any other. For example, if you visit the great battlefields of the world, you will probably find elaborate monuments that celebrate the valor and the sacrifice of the soldiers who died there. And if you go to Washington, D.C. and visit the Lincoln Memorial, you will be dwarfed by the impressive statue of Abraham Lincoln. But you know what? All these memorials are memorials for the dead. In contrast, the Lord Jesus is the Lamb who once was slain, but now is alive forever. And the Lord's Supper He instituted is not a monument, but it is a meal of mercy. In this eating and drinking, we not only remember, but we actually receive His mercy. Of course, the devil would love for us to not believe that. The devil would tempt us to respond to this good news by saying, what good is this meal, really? I mean, shouldn't Jesus give me something more practical that I can use? I mean, I could use some pointers on how to get along in this world. I could use some advice on how to be happy and successful. I could use some instructions on how to find my way through the confusion and turmoil of life. But mercy, do I really need mercy? Is this meal really practical? You see, that's our problem. God sends us His precious gifts, but sometimes we're tempted to mark them return to sender in exchange for something that we think is better. But my friends, there is nothing better than mercy. It is God's mercy that opens up His heart to the world, sending forth the pure and holy Lamb of God to be slaughtered in our place, which, by the way, is mercy in action. In fact, as a result of His mercy, you and I do not receive the eternal damnation that we deserve. Instead, God's own Son took our eternal damnation upon Himself. The merciful sacrifice of Jesus is at the heart of the Lord's Supper, the remembrance of God's mercy to end all other remembrances. Now, of course, there had been memorial meals before the Lord's Supper. You see, the night that Jesus was betrayed, He had gathered in that upper room with His disciples to commemorate the exodus of God's people from their slavery in Egypt. You probably remember learning about that event in Sunday school. When they were getting ready to leave Egypt, they celebrated the Lord's Passover. In our text for this evening, we heard how God had given them elaborate instructions to His people for the preparation of this feast. The entree was a lamb, but not an ordinary lamb. It had to be a male lamb without blemish or defect. Now, every time the Jews ate that meal throughout history, they ate it in the remembrance of the Lord and His mercy during that time in Egypt. It was a meal full of hope, a meal full of promise, but hope and promise under the very real threat of death. You see, that first night in Egypt when God set His people free, it was in the midst of imminent danger. For the angel of death was passing over. In every household in Egypt, the firstborn man and beast would die, except where the blood of the sacrificial lamb marked the door. At those homes, the deadly plague passed over, sparing all within. On the night of their deliverance, God's people ate that first Passover with mixed emotions. Oh, they had gratitude and joy, to be sure, but tinged with dread, because the angel of death was passing overhead. I mean, imagine attending a banquet given in your honor, only to have live ammunition whizzing over your head. You see, these people knew they had received mercy. They had been miraculously delivered from sure and certain death. This then was Israel's Passover, the Old Testament sacramental meal of deliverance. In that meal, God's people dined on the body of the very animal that gave them life by dying in their place. It was a communion of sorts, a communion with the body that was killed to save them. Now, in the Lord's Supper, in the meal of mercy, there is a communion as well. But the Lord's Supper is a communion with a living body. The living body of the Lamb of God who has mercy on us. You see, Jesus intervened to rescue us from the slavery of our sin and the death it deserves. He was made a curse for us, and that's why He died upon the cross, giving His body and shedding His blood for the remission of our sins. Jesus was a lamb without blemish or defect. He had no sins of his own, but took upon himself our sins so that he could die to bring down the ancient curse of death and to end the Father's wrath against all sin and every sinner. The body of his was the sin offering, and his blood was the sign and seal of our redemption. And when we eat this bread and drink this cup, it is a communion in the body and blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. As God's Old Testament people once dined on the flesh of lambs that pointed ahead to God's merciful Messiah, so now tonight God's New Testament people dine on the very flesh and blood of that very merciful Messiah. In fact, the Apostle Paul drives this point home when he calls the Lord Jesus our Passover Lamb. Those lambs who gave their lives as the antidote to death in Egypt, they were only a dress rehearsal for the real thing. At the cross, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, there he gave his body and shed his blood for us. And so, at the Lord's table this night, you and I are given yet again a front row seat in the great drama that won our salvation. How many of you remember the old favorite Lenten hymn, "Were You There?" Raise your hand. Most of us know that hymn. You know, that hymn asks us various questions. One of them is, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there?" Well, the obvious answer is, no. I wasn't there. You weren't there. None of us were there. But you see, that doesn't matter, because tonight, the cross comes to us. That's right. We cannot go to Jesus, but he comes to us. First, he came to us at our baptism, and now, repeatedly, he comes to us in his Holy Supper. The Lamb of God who shed his blood that we might live says to us, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." In this meal of mercy, Jesus does more than simply ask us to remember him. Even more, he remembers us. And he gives us once again the fruits of his love and all the benefits of his saving death when he says to us, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." In fact, those two little words, "for you," bring us confidence and consolation tonight. Sin, death, and hell have been overcome. Why? Because Jesus, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Now we may know for certain that we are not alone in this world, and that all the burdens and sorrows of life that threaten to overwhelm us, they can never rob us of the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this supper tonight, the Lord of heaven and earth hands you his love on a platter. God doesn't give you a mere symbol or picture of his love. Instead, Jesus gives you his very body and blood that purchased your salvation. In the Lord's Supper, you receive mercy incarnate. Mercy. In fact, mercy is what we need. And that is what the Lamb of God gives us in this meal. This meal of mercy that he spreads before us this evening. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding,